everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a furry friend of ours because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful lynx. This, of course, is a very special listener episode, and in this case, it is a very special listener episode because of how many people requested the lynx. So this episode is dedicated to Ava, Herman, Dan, Schluki, Jess and Ronnie, Nicholas, Laurel, Nia, Kaylee, Molly, Will, and Anau. Thank you all for taking the time to suggest this amazing creature. This podcast episode wouldn't have been possible without you. For how to request your very own episode, as well as to get access to the facts in this one, all of that information is in the description or in the show notes, but I will also be covering them at the end of the episode. If you would like access to completely intro-free episodes, exclusive episodes, and more, all while supporting the show, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts or just click on the Patreon link in the description. I have written a book for anybody that wants to start a podcast of their own. It's called Anyone Can Talk, and you can find it on Amazon or through the website. And now let us begin to wind down a little bit. And as always, I have three exhortations for you. The first is to strap on a pair of snowshoes. We are not in any need of sneakers or for scuba gear, but for where we are going today, snowshoes are going to be your best friend. And secondly, I encourage you to notice perhaps where you are carrying some tension. Is it in the shoulders? Is it in the head? In the hands? Everyone is different in this regard, and so it is personal to you. But regardless of where that tension is, my exhortation is the same. I would like you to do your best Oscar award-winning performance of an impersonation of Jell-O. Just simply relax wherever you carry your tension. And the last thing I encourage you to do is to allow your mind to wander and journey with me as we go into a Canadian high-altitude forest covered with snow where the lynx resides. For those of you unfamiliar with the climate of Canada, I give you a very warm welcome. Kidding aside, this environment is truly beautiful. But we're not just here for the mountain, for the wind, or for the trees. We're here to see one special creature, and that is the lynx. Now, the kind of lynx we're going to find here is the Canada lynx. It is not the Canadian lynx, but the Canada lynx. It is one of four species of lynx that are found in the world. And so we could be in many places in Europe, for example, where we might see the Eurasian lynx or even the Iberian lynx. Now, if you think Canada is cold, we could go to Siberia and check out the lynx there another time. Now, for this cat, their common name is the lynx, but their scientific name is also the lynx. Normally here I would go into some kind of Latin or Greek word study as to why the scientific name is what it is, but I am going to postpone it until the end, considering that it is no different from their common name. The lynx is a mammal. It is a carnivore, meaning that it eats a diet strictly of animal material and meat. It is going to be between 32 to 47 inches long and weigh between 22 to 44 pounds. That's between 10 and 20 kilograms. So setting the stage for them generally, we can begin to look at them more closely. And the reason we are here, high up on this mountain, is because the lynx prefers to inhabit very high altitudes and forests in particular. They will tend to live in dens, rock crevices, underneath ledges or hollowed out trees. Now, considering that we are in Canada, what we ought to distinguish is the Canada lynx and the bobcat. They are not, in fact, the same. They both live in North America and have some similar characteristics, which leads some to conclude that the bobcat and the lynx are simply one and the same. One other reason why people might mix up the two is because the bobcat got its name from its tail. It is short or bobbed, hence the bobcat. But the lynx, as we will find out, has also a very short or bobbed tail. There are even experts that can struggle in differentiating the two physically at a quick glance. The lynx, depending on the species, can differ in color, some of them being a gray, rusty, red, or light brown color, but they will all often have some kind of dark spotting so as to give them camouflage. As you might assume, their fur is very thick. Up here, we are wearing snowshoes and many layers with a very puffy jacket on top. The lynx basically has an organic version of those things. Their fur will grow thicker and thicker during the coldest times of the year and accommodate accordingly when things get warmer. One of the main ways that the lynx is easily distinguishable from other cat species is the fur that points out from their ears. They have these very pointed black tufts of hair that stand near the end of their ears. And as the lynx is listening around and their ears are turning and rotating, it almost looks like, to me, like their ears are little antennae with the black tufts of hair swinging about in the wind. Their cheeks, long legs, and their stubby tails will be covered with this beard-like fur, slightly longer than the rest of their body, and their tail, which we had just learned is bobbed and very short, also has a black tip akin to their ears. Now, interestingly enough, researchers are still looking into why, at the end of their ears, they have these black tufts of hair. Given that they look like some sort of antennae, researchers have postulated that they may function akin to antennae in some way, helping them hear, helping them to detect movements that are above their head, or it may simply be a mechanism by which they can keep their ears warm. So for any aspiring animal biologists out there that may study the lynx in the future, perhaps you will be the one to discover what exactly these pointed ears are for. As we will soon see, their body proportions make them something like a loaded spring. And you may notice, as the lynx is walking around, that although the snow is very deep, they are walking very close to the surface. Now, if me and you were to take our snowshoes off and just with our boots go ahead and try to walk in the snow, we would quickly realize just how deep the snow is. We would have trouble walking as we would be buried just past the knees or up to the hips in snow with each step, and so that is why we must use snowshoes. And the lynx has remarkably adept paws for walking in this environment. Their large, padded, and thick furred paws act like organic snowshoes. It allows them to be agile even in the very deep snow. Their paws distribute their weight through a large surface area and allows them to be incredibly agile in very weird conditions. And as we look at the Canada lynx in specific, we might think it is simply just a bigger version of a house cat. But appearances here might be deceiving. They are, in fact, amazing predators and much more adept in hunting than the average house cat. Now, there are two distinguishing factors between the lynx and the bobcat. The first is that the bobcat is going to have smaller black tufts on their ears, as well as a white underside of their tail. The latter characteristic is probably going to be really challenging to determine when looking at a distance, but the tufts on the ear can be a giveaway if you look closely. They are nocturnal and solitary for the most part, of course apart from mating season. Now, something that might not be all that intuitive is that they are great swimmers in addition to their great climbing. The Canada Lynx is not going to have too many opportunities to swim here in this environment, but if or when they do, they can do it well. With their great hearing and their amazing eyesight, they are very efficient hunters. Their eyesight is so good, in fact, that they can spot a mouse from 250 feet away. But when they spot a creature, that doesn't mean that they will charge after it right away. The lynx is not great in long endurance competitions. They will not chase or run after animals for very long. But because their body is built like a loaded spring, they are fantastic ambush predators. So once prey get just a little bit too close, they pounce from their hind legs and are able to make quick work of their prey. They will attempt to get closer by stalking the prey silently, which their paws, of course, help for as well, and they can close quite a distance and very quickly. So for the Canadian lynx, while they are mostly going to be going after that snowshoe hare, for the Iberian lynx, it's going to be the European rabbit, and the bobcat will have a much more varied diet. It is the larger Eurasian lynx that can make work of deer and other small animals. And the lynx has been known to also kill farm animals, such as sheep and goats. In Norway, for example, the government will compensate farmers for 10,000 or so sheep every year because they are killed by lynx. Farms that have their property extending very close to the forest are often the ones targeted by lynx. Now, this may not be of any surprise, but the lynx is a very important species in its environment. They are considered to be a keystone species for a few reasons. Now, of course, one of these ways is population control for the prey. But one thing cannot be discounted, and that is the aspect of behavior for prey when there is a predator around. Animals will act differently whether they have natural threats or not. But in the case of these herbivorous creatures that the lynx hunts, they will alter their behavior in order to stay away from certain places or go to other places, depending on the ability that they will have to escape from that particular location. Going into a corner in which there is no place to go is not a safe place to be when there is an ambush predator around. And so this makes a lot of favorable grazing land that large herbivores would enjoy otherwise. And so what this does is ensures the rapid and favorable growth of a lot of plant life that otherwise would be consumed by all of the herbivores. So this grazing land will succeed from grasslands towards the forest, binding the soil with the tree roots, and even securing riverways. These sorts of changes can bring new insects, bats, birds, and a whole change in the ecosystem just because of the presence or absence of a key predator like the lynx. And now let us talk about lynx and baby lynx. Their mating season will be between winter and early spring, and females will only bond with one male, and so rival males will scream or screech at each other, perhaps meow very loudly as they fight over the female. After a period of about 2 months, females will give birth to a litter of kittens somewhere between 1 and 4, and she will raise all of these kittens on her own. Young lynx will become independent at around 10 months of age and will leave home after about 20 months to find their own territory. And the last fact is that lynx can take 2,000-mile treks, but scientists are still unsure as to why they even do this. Scientists have tracked different Arctic wildcats on their wild journeys. These long treks are in no way easy, but sport some of the largest natural challenges. But why animals like the lynx do these things, researchers shrug their shoulders. And now let us move on to the name. where does the name lynx come from, or rather, what does it mean? Well, around the mid-14th century is when we began using this word lynx to describe this moderately sized wildcat, and it comes from the Latin word lynx as well. And it is thought to track back to a Proto-Indo-European root word that is luke. This word means light or brightness, and so it is attributed to the lynx in reference to its very gleaming eyes, or possibly its ability to see in the dark. Now, this is not 100% determined, but it seems to be quite probably the case. Now, let us move on to the review portion of the show. This review was written by Forever Bree, who wrote all the way from the United States of America, and Bree writes, "Love all the facts and how the stories are told. Thanks for all the research and details you gather about the animals. So interesting and insightful. To the listeners who say you need to talk faster, you can speed up the narration audio speed on Apple Podcasts and in Audible. Thank you, Bree, for taking the time to leave such a wonderful review. I am so glad that you love all of the facts and that you're a part of what makes the show so great. As regards the latter part of your review, that is indeed a good tip. It probably does not apply to Spotify or elsewhere, but if you believe I talk slowly, Bree says, you can speed up my voice on Apple Podcasts or in Audible. And the speed of my voice is something that I truly have addressed to the utmost of my ability. You'll find that in many older episodes, I talk rather quickly, and then now I talk a little bit slower. It is a big challenge because what is slow for one is fast for another. I cannot tell you how many messages I have gotten saying that the podcast is much too quick, and then the podcast is much too slow, and then also that my voice is at a perfect pace. I simply cannot do much to please absolutely everybody. But I try to speak at a speed that is appropriate given the setting and what the podcast seeks to achieve. And I thank all of you who have been long-term listeners and have been an intimate part of that learning process. All of you long-term listeners have been through so many different things on this show. So many format changes, speed differences, all of those sorts of things. And I'm so happy for your continued loyalty and listenership. If the show has helped you in any way and you want to give back, leaving a review is something that you can do in under a couple of minutes that makes a huge difference. So if you're on Spotify, you can rate. If you are on Apple Podcasts, you can leave a 5-star review. If you don't have any of those options on your listening platform, you can always share the show or to do whatever the platform allows you to do. If you would like your very own episode and to learn about an animal that you find cool, you can submit your animal suggestions by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and clicking on the animal request tab. If you wish to reach out to the show for any other reason, you can do so by following the account relaxwithanimalfacts on Instagram, or you can send a message to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. Make sure to follow the Instagram because we are going to be starting a live quiz every month, in which case, if you win, you can suggest the next podcast episode. You can win a shout out or win some merch. So make sure to go to that Instagram. The facts used in this episode come from CanadianGeographic.ca, NationalGeographic.com, Britannica.com, FactAnimal.com, and EtymOnline.com. All of these resources are in the show notes or the description, and this episode would not have been possible without the contributions to the animal fact world by all of these resources. I hope you all enjoyed this episode as much as I did, and I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.